The scriptures say, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. For this is good. It also says that this is the first commandment with promise. What a good word. Now, my question to you is, how many of you are the children of the Lord? So does this apply to you? Yes, it does. If you are the children of the Lord, who is your father? Yeah. God is your father. Christ rules that kingdom. And who is your mother? New Jerusalem would be your mother, wouldn't she? Now, you may not fully understand that, but we are talking spiritual principle here. Obviously, if you perceive yourself as a spirit of God, there needs to be a perception that your spirit came from God. Therefore, you are the offspring or the begotten of God. That is awesome, man. If you are the offspring of God, that would make you his child, son and daughters of God. What a rejoicing that is, man. That is really cool. If you take on that responsibility, then there's something that comes with it that I started off with a moment ago. What is that? Children, obey your parents. Now, I'm going to address a couple of things here this morning. If you want to be perfect, what must you do? Well, we learned last week that you're going to have to seek the Lord. Is that the first thing you do, Brad? Why not? But what if I told you the first thing you need to do, Brad, is be obedient to the Lord? If you're going to be perfect, then you need to obey the Lord. It's one thing to seek the Lord. It's another thing to obey him. And you know what? I'm going to address a perception of obedience. Most people, especially the way our world has brought in obedience, it has been defiled. Hasn't obedience been defiled? In other words, how many opportunities do you have people lording over other people requiring obedience, and they defile it or they make it unclean? That's not the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works like this. I have a kingdom, this is God saying, I have a kingdom that I want you to come and partake of. I can't let any sin in that kingdom because then it would be defiled. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present some things to you and I'm going to give you some commandments. These commandments are not just for to lord over you. These commandments are to help you get to heaven. So when I give you these commandments, if you obey them, they will get you to heaven. Marvin, they will get you to heaven if you obey them. If you disobey them, you will not get to heaven. And so in the commandments of God, when you're dealing with obedience, the perception shouldn't be, well, I have to do this, I have to do that. The perception of obedience should be, thank God he has given me an opportunity to be guided to heaven. Therefore, if I do what's right and follow that and be guided in that, then God is going to lead me to where he is. I mean, if he went to prepare a place, Megan, then he means for us to be there with him. He means to bring us there. That is awesome, man. I'm telling you, one of the most simplest things that we have among us is probably one of the most hardest things to accomplish in our life, and that is obedience. Obedience. Because obedience, it's the magnitude of obedience is so great. As a matter of fact, doesn't the scripture say, by one man's disobedience, sin came into the world. It entered the world. So by one man's obedience, righteousness came. See the magnitude of it? In other words, let's weigh that a little bit in our minds right now. Let's weigh disobedience and obedience. Disobedience puts you in sin against God. Obedience puts you in righteousness. Who are the ones that make it to heaven? The righteous. So if we walk in obedience, the truth is that if Jesus Christ came and was obedient to God, he prepared a way of righteousness. So it changed the course of the nature of man, is what it did. Think of this. This is the magnitude of this. If disobedience could put you in sin and death, and obedience could put you in righteousness toward God, which one do you think you want to have? Which one do you want to do? I would say we'd want to be obedient. You know why? We're the children of God. And children of God, Keith, obey God. That is awesome. Children of God obey God. Now, what are you? Are you children of God? Megan, who's your father? Thank you. But I want you to know something. I count you as my family. I love my physical family. But I also count you guys as the family of the Lord by the Spirit. And therefore, are we coming together here to be thankful today, to worship the Lord and be obedient unto His Word? I'm telling you, there is power in obedience. And there's a lack of power in disobedience. And so if you want to get started and know where to start with the Lord, it's very key that you be obedient. But what is it? What is being obedient? To be led of God so that you can know the way of heaven. That's good. What else? Anybody? You follow, I'll be right with you. You follow the word, that's true. Listen to him and follow his word. Very good. Anybody else? Yes. Keeping his commandments? Yes. What if I sprung a couple words on you? Like submission. You know, the one that, careful there. If you submit yourself to God, you are giving your will over to God. Aren't you? You're giving your will over to what He says, what He asks of you, what He commands of you, what He has set up in order. Obedience requires submission. You know what else it requires? Humility. Because how many of you may not realize this at times, but it works in all men. How many of you realize that there is in you a way that seems right unto a man? In other words, how many of you think you know how to get to heaven? It'd be easy to think that, wouldn't it? I know how to get to heaven. I just got to read my Bible. All I got to do is come to church. All I've got to do is sing a song, say some prayers, and so forth, and I'll get to heaven. But I want to pinpoint exactly the obedience that we are after here. Because obedience will require you to be submissive. It will require you to humble yourself before the Lord. And that means that your will have to go away in this. I love the fact that the Lord gave us bodies and said, I'm not going to tell you everything to do in your life. Do what you got to do. But when it comes to the things of God, if you're the children of God, you're going to have to submit to God to get to heaven. And once again, the rule thing or the law thing or the if you do this and you don't do this and all of that, we've got to handle that in the right perception. Submission handles that in the right perception. If I submit myself to somebody, am I saying I trust them? You know why? Because I trust them with me. If I say I submit myself to the Lord, it's because I trust Him to guide me in the manner that I could not guide myself. Wow. So I'm acknowledging that I don't know how to get to heaven the right way. I need the Lord to command me and tell me how to get to heaven. And if I humble myself and submit to that, then will I do what the Lord tells me to do? Because obeying the Lord is doing what the Lord has instructed you to do or commanded you to do. And it requires you to submit yourself to the Lord for God to accomplish this. How does regeneration take place? There you go. You submit to the Lord, He talks to you and changes you. It's as simple as that. The simplicity is God says, do it this way. You know why He says it that way? Do it this way? Because that's the right way. And the perfect way. You're good. So if He says, do it this way and obey that, I will lead you to a place that I have promised you. But if you do it the wrong way, you're going to go astray. Why do you think in the Old Testament, God was always after the children of Israel not to serve other gods? Because other gods will lead them astray. It will lead you astray. So if you are putting other gods in front of you, then it will lead you astray and you're going to miss the mark of heaven. But if you follow and obey with all your heart the truth that God has put in front of you, will it lead you to heaven? It will. It will. I have watched this principle work with people, with instruction. I watch people that do exactly what they're instructed and they come to the things of God. I watch people that don't, that still want to do their own thing and believe their own way, and I have watched them not come to the things of God. It's very simple. It's true. It works. And obedience is very important. So what would disobedience be? Doing your own way? You got that right. The scripture talks about and compares very much, especially in the Old Testament, disobedience would be rebellion against God. In other words, what he always called his children in the Old Testament? Rebellious children, stubborn. The point is, it's a stubborn people. Now imagine if God wants to command you and you're stubborn. Why do I have to do what somebody else tells me to do? It's going to be a problem. You don't have to for now. But eventually what's going to happen is that there's not going to be an entrance into the things of God. Therefore, you would want to submit yourself to it. Obedience is the key here. And I wanted to address this because the success of the church all depends on obedience. It really does. What if the apostles in the New Testament did not obey the Lord? And they said, actually, Lord, I want to go over to this place and preach. Actually, I want to do this or do that. It didn't say that. It says wherever the Lord sent them, they went. And the will of God was accomplished. What if we did that in our own heart? Obeyed the things of God. Well, I do have to ask, what is it that you obey? What are some of the things that we should obey? The Old Testament is very clear. The number one thing in the Old Testament, really, or very common, I should say, is it describes it as His voice, the Lord's voice. Now, that's key because in the New Testament, you're going to get into aspects of obeying the truth. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 1:22. Listen to this. And it's really, really good because Peter is addressing obedience and purification. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice something here. There's two things that you're going to seek after around here. Number one is purity. You know why? Because do you like being condemned? Do you like being guilty? Do you like being unclean? No. You want to be clean, don't you? What cleanses you? What makes you pure? We just read it. If you obey the truth, not only will you be a born again, which is the purity of heart, you're going to love your brother. You're going to love your sister. You're going to do what's right in the eyes of God. When God cleans you up and you are pure, you will do what's right. You know how that comes? Beth, it comes by obeying the truth. If you're commanded to let go of fear and doubt and unbelief, will that word, will that commandment purify your soul? If you obey it, it will. And this is where we talk about sometimes we love what we love. Sometimes we don't want to let go what we love so much. And yet, the things we love hurt us the most. We find out by being obedient to the things of God, it cleanses us and purifies our soul. And then we're free to be walking toward the Lord. That's pretty cool. The other thing that we are after a lot around here is the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Bible says also that the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey Him? Did you know the Bible says that? If you can walk in obedience, think about it. You purify your soul and you receive the Holy Ghost. And we are His witnesses of these things, dealing with resurrection. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. You know why I like that so much? Notice what they're saying. We are witnesses to things of resurrection, is what they're saying, to the works of God. And He says, so is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a witness to it all. So if you have the Holy Ghost, what will you be? A witness with all, Brad. Because when you're walking in obedience, the Spirit of truth in purity can work in you. It can work in you. And that's really, if we're going to live for God, do we need to be empowered with the Spirit of God? With the power of the Holy Ghost? We do. But if we're rebellious, stop being rebellious. Hey, that is a, what's the scripture say also? That rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know why it would be as witchcraft? Because if you rebel against the Lord, you have to go to another spirit. You have to conjure up other spirits, mostly your own. A false spirit to do another commandment. How do you think the Pharisees in the Bible, the rebellious Jews, how do you think that they made doctrines of men? Were they rebellious? Was that working a witchcraft? Was that conjuring up their own spirit to follow what they wanted to follow? So is it important to follow and obey the word of the Lord? Well, let's get back to His voice. His voice is what we obey. Says it a lot of times in the Old Testament, I believe. And if it says obey His voice, now He's becoming very, very direct. I taught a good while ago about commandments and prophecy a little bit. And in that teaching, one of the things I taught was that there are commandments that are very general to us. Then there are commandments that are very specific to us. Now, what I meant by that was simply this. How many of you could read your Bible and go, oh, I know everything I need to do? Because it tells me right here. But then sometimes you can't always keep them all. You struggle keeping them. That is what I call very general commandments. You just read your Bible and you try to obey them. That's a good heart of trying to obey if you can. But what you really need is you need the Lord to talk to you personally. And when he talks to you personally and he gives you a commandment, Brad, that's his voice. And when his voice speaks to you and commands you, and then can you follow that? Would that make you perfect? And so if you want to be perfect before the Lord, it would be a good idea to hear his voice. And as you hear his voice, you will follow. Really, this would be a question I just want to provoke you with. Where would rebellion and submission be tested in you? When would it be tested in you? Let's find out if you're submitted to God, or let's find out if you're rebellious. You know where you find that out? When God talks to you. See, you may think you find that out by just reading the Bible. Because you could go through the Bible and go, oh my goodness, there's a lot of things I need to do that I don't do right now. Well, are you reading the Old Testament or are you reading the New? Has God shown you that, or are you just trying to be obedient the best way you can? That's one thing. But when God talks to you, you know what it does to you? It puts you in a place of whether you are obedient or disobedient, because now God has told you something. And if God commands you something, now you're tested. Now you're tested. Like, for example, he told the children of Israel, go into a promised land that I've given you. What happened? Were they rebellious over and over and over and over again? Did they follow that word? No. What was in them? Rebellion. Disobedience. So they did not do it. But the ones that were obedient and submission, they of a right spirit were going to enter into that land. It's the same scenario with us. God wants to put you to the test. Are you obedient? Are you disobedient? God's going to put you to the test. He's got to find out. So how he finds out if you're submissive or rebellious is by putting a commandment on you. Isn't that interesting? Because anybody could walk around and say, oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. And God says, well, I'll tell you what. I command you this day. And you go, uh-oh, it's getting real in this place. And all of a sudden, now you don't get to just make up your own choices and go, I love the Lord if I want to or not, and do what you want to do. Now the Lord has spoken to you. Does that bring a new seriousness into your heart? Now you've got purpose. See, I told you 2 weeks ago to be perfect before the Lord. Now that should bring in a choice. Am I going to be perfect or am I not going to be perfect? Am I going to focus on being perfect or am I not going to focus? Am I going to do what I was just doing or am I going to follow this word of God? Then I come in and I say, seek the Lord. Well, this week, how many of you have focused on seeking the Lord and how many of you have not? You know what these words of God are doing? They're manifesting your thoughts if you will pay attention. They will manifest your thoughts. Either you're a seeker or you're not a seeker. Either you're perfect or you're not perfect. And did we make covenants to do these things? We did. And it's interesting that when we make the covenant to do these things, it requires something of you. Is that what I'm after? I do want to require something of you. You know why? Because if you're never required anything, then you will not go forth to do anything. We need to manifest everything in you, in your thoughts. Do you have rebellion in you? How many of you would say yes? Do you have submission in you? You know what? I would venture to say most of you have got some of both that needs to be discerned. in that God's not going to hurt you. That's why I brought up earlier that in this world, submission is a negative thing. You know why? Because it's hard to find somebody in this world that you can submit yourself to that you could actually trust with all your heart. It's hard to find them. Because man abuses other men. Where do you think our history came from? And man is so defiled, man does not know how to treat other men. I count women in that as well. But God, with the love and salvation that he has prepared for his kingdom, knows how to cause you to submit. And in the submitting, he's not going to betray you. And that's why submission can be learned. When God began to teach me to trust him, it was such an intimate time because you're saying, I've got to let go of all the things I want and believe. I need to trust the Lord. I've got to believe what he's telling me is true. And I have all these thoughts in my mind and I go, oh, I'm not sure about this. I want to hang on to my way of thinking. And we go through these things. This was years ago. And then as you begin to say, okay, I'm gonna put my thoughts down and I'm going to trust the way the Lord says it is. I'm going to follow that. You begin to realize God didn't lie to you. That's different than men do it here. Men make promises that they don't keep. Therefore, most people in our world are skeptical to trust other people. Now imagine living in a world where we don't trust each other. You know why? As we can see in our society, you don't know who's going to pull out a gun. You don't know who's going to try to hurt us. You don't know who's going to go after our children. You don't know that. So we don't trust. The spirit world is a little different than that in the sense when it comes to God himself. We could trust the Lord because he's not going to hurt us. But that has to be learned. Obedience has to be learned. You have to be taught that you can trust the Lord. You have to be taught that. So how does he teach it to you? I've already answered that, but let's do it again. How do you think he teaches it to you? Okay, I'm hearing answers. By speaking his voice to you, giving you commandments. Yeah, but you have to be tested.
So that he spoke a word to you or gave you a commandment, and as you started to follow that and be obedient to it, you saw that God could be trusted. He actually proved it to you.
Very good. As the Lord gives you commandments and you obey them, you actually learn that you can trust the Lord, that he will do what he said he would do. But if you always reject it, because that's disobedience, is rejecting the will of God, then it's going to be hard to trust the Lord. It's going to be difficult. Obedience is to help you learn to trust the Lord. It really is. Isn't that cool? And you know what else it does? Obedience brings you into submission to what's commanding you. In other words, Tony, I think it's Romans 6:17. Let's try this. Romans 6:17. Yeah, let's try that. Actually, back up to 16 first. We'll read the one before. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? This is clear as a bell. It's telling you, you become a servant to the thing you obey. So if you obey sin, what are you? A servant of sin. If you obey righteousness, you're a servant of righteousness. Doesn't that make sense? So who's going to be obedient to the Lord? Who's going to be obedient to yourself, to death, to sin? You will be a servant no matter what you try. Oh, I'm not submitting to nobody. Guess what? You're in submission to something. When it comes to the things of God, it's important to know, who am I going to serve? Who am I going to serve? I mean, you got to be conscious of this. Who am I serving? Is God my Father? Isn't that interesting? I start that off by saying a commandment about children. Is God my Father? Is He? Then obey Him. Because there are thoughts in you that are not fathered by God. They've been created by you. The ones that are of God are going to follow God. And that's going to be key here. But you will be a servant to what you obey. And that's interesting. Verse 17, that next verse says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You see the answer, don't you? How do you become free from being a servant of sin? Obey from the heart the doctrines that's given to you. What's a doctrine? Isn't it a teaching? That's one part of it. A doctrine is a teaching of God that you obey. God sets up a government in heaven. I think I described this last week. If God sets up His government in heaven and it's righteousness, peace, joy, love, hope, peace. Wow. And He says, I'm not going to let the abominations come into my kingdom. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let murder come in. I'm not going to let death come in. I'm not going to let pride come in. I'm not going to let selfishness come in. I'm not going to let war and envy and jealousy. I'm not going to let none of that into my kingdom. I'm not letting it in. Isn't that something to look forward to? We have a heaven that's undefiled. So if He's not letting it in, what's He going to do to help change you? Because if you are full of all of those things, anybody in here ever been full of lust and pride and anger and all of these things? So what do you need to change you from that so you can get into a government and a kingdom that has none of those things? What do you need? You need God to come and lay out the teaching of His kingdom. I mean, we know this. We say God has a kingdom set in order, and it's pure, it's clean. And now God wants to teach all of us that we came from there, and He wants us to come back. But He says, you are defiled, man. You went into the world, and you got filthy. You've become filthy with the teachings of the world. So I want to bring you back. But before I do, I'm going to have to teach you some things. And if I teach them to you and you obey them, guess what? I'm going to bring you back. If you rebel against them, well, you just delay your time. We don't know how many generations, but it's delayed. And therefore, God is giving us the answer. You know what it is? Obey my teachings. Obey my voice. Obey my commandments. Obey, He calls them laws and statutes and ordinances, different ones from heaven. You called it Thursday night, the law of the Spirit. Is this simple enough? If we obey, everything is promised. Okay. I think Deuteronomy says this. Matter of fact, let me write it on the board. Obedience. Obedience and disobedience. The doing is the obedience or the disobedience. The reward for obedience and the reward for disobedience. There's a lot of them in the Bible. But I'm going to go with this one. The reward for obedience is blessings. Do you know what you'll be blessed with? Everything God has. All of eternal life, all of heaven, all of the love of God, all of the Spirit of God, all of the Holy Ghost, all of the peace of God, the power of God, everything. But disobedience equals what? A curse. A curse is a cycle of death. In other words, round and round you go in death. That's a curse. It's when you are in the mind of death and you cannot get out. You cannot get out. Tell me why you can't get out. Disobedience will not let you out of the mind of death. You just keep repeating, you fall into the same repetitious death after death after death. Bad decisions, bad thoughts. It's heartbreaking to watch it sometimes, but it's a reality. The obedient, though, they walk in the blessings, don't they? I guess you've already read the scripture on the wall, huh? Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. Is that not what I'm doing for you? A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day. He did command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. That is one of the most powerful things. Wow. That's our answer, Michelle. The Lord has given us answers to help us in our salvation. I'll bless you with everything, but I can't let you do it with sin. I can't bless you with sin. I can't. I'm a holy God. I can't bless you in sin. I can't. Let me say this real quick before I get long-winded. When Adam was put out of the garden, what was cursed? He said, the ground is cursed for your sake. And he said, you will go out into that ground and you will have to work that ground by the sweat of your brow. Now, Adam was in the garden of God. Where was he at? Was he in the blessings? Disobedience put him in death. Is that a curse? So now he's in a working in the works of a curse and he can't get out for generations and generations. Look at the Bible. From Adam to Jesus, the first time the curse was actually broken for good was generations later, thousands of years later when Jesus Christ came. And what did he do? He now gives us opportunity to walk in the blessings. You do not have to walk in disobedience. You don't. Walk in the blessings. And you'll be blessed. So what are we going to do today? Obey or disobey? We're going to obey. Now, how many of you will make a covenant with me? How many of you will make an agreement with me that today you are going to begin to take more notice and more awareness toward what the Lord has said to me? To you. And I'm going to take notice to that and I am going to obey it. I am going to obey it. You know why? Because you're going to be blessed in it. You're going to be blessed in it. You may not see all kinds of blessings with money rolling in like, you know, they say on TV. They tell you if you serve God and you do all this, you're going to be rich and all that. Throw all that garbage away. It's not true. You will be blessed in your heart, in your thoughts, in your mind. In this world, you may have lots of problems at times, but your mind and your heart and your soul will be filled with God, with peace and glory of God, and heaven will be a part of you. And I'm telling you, you can walk in the blessings of God today if you allow obedience to work in your heart. And we can put aside the curse that came with Adam. One man's disobedience put sin in us. But not today. Now, one man's obedience has brought righteousness. Man, I love that. So how many's going to make a covenant with me, an agreement? Let me see your hands. Today, we're going to obey the things of God. We're going to obey the Lord. And if some of you need a little help discerning what God has actually spoken to you, don't hesitate to come and talk. And we'll trust the Lord. We'll pray. We'll seek the Lord. And we'll believe God. That's what we like to do. Isn't that cool? I love you guys. Praying for you. Good to see everybody. Let's make it out to these meetings this week if we can and really fellowship some things of God, okay?